I bring you greetings from Tucson, Arizona. It's good to be with you today. I hope that you are not totally brain fried after all of these exams, but we are glad to be with you. We've had interns from Ambassador, and our church family loves Ambassador interns because of your heart for God. And we've had people like John Wittdefleisch have been with us, Andrew Englehart, Jared DeMay, Sam Ellis, Justin O'Lear, and Josh Lobach, wonderful interns that have been a blessing to us. And what we try to do in our internship is to give a broad base of what the ministry is really like. Not a sugar-covered view, but exactly what it's like. The guys live in our home, so they get to see a pastor's home from the inside out. And when I have emergencies in the middle of the night, I get them up and take them with me. And they really get to see what the pastorate is really like. So if you are if you're going to do an internship, let me encourage you. Come by and see me. I'll try to be in the student center this afternoon and this evening, and have some brochures. Be glad to share those with you. I think that it would be a great program for you. Will you turn with me in your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 33? Jeremiah chapter 33. Our Father, we pray now that you would tune us in. These students and faculty members, oh God, have been pressed with the pressures of study, preparation, and exams. And I pray that in these moments, oh God, that you would give them the relaxation of their mind. Lord, that you would take your word and massage it into their heart. That this would be a time of refreshment, a time of your working in us, that which you desire. I pray that you will be glorified. Oh Lord. We look to you to do what only you can do. We ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Jeremiah 33:3, you know the verse probably. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. It was 1761, and there was a little boy born into a poor family in Northamptonshire, England. And Edmund was a weaver who later became a schoolmaster of a parish school, and he had a little son by the name of William Carey, who you know as the father of modern missions. He was not much interested. Willie was not much interested in things. He loved to read. And he was not much interested in spiritual things, to tell the truth. He did like the adventure stories like Joseph and David and so forth in the Bible. But when he was a child, he was forbidden of his family to go and to see John Wesley. So he snuck away and went out to hear John Wesley preach. Wesley had now been preaching for 35 years daily, and was an older man at this time, and it really impressed William Carey. God really planted the seed in his heart because he came from an Anglican background, and he had never heard preaching like that. He had never heard the gospel, and so God planted the seed in his life. And through a series of events in his life, Carey then grew and began to understand more, and God brought spiritual things into his life, a co-worker that really impressed him and worked, helped plant the seed of the Word of God into his life. And ultimately, he began to read the Scripture, and William Carey was turned unto Christ. And in 1781, he married Dorothy Plackett at a Baptist church in Piddington. Dorothy's father was a pastor, and seven others helped to establish that Hackleton meeting house where William was only 20 years old and where he really began to grow in the Lord, and where William met his wife and then married her. And that next year, he was stricken with a fever and almost died. He thought he was going to die. God then began to work in William Carey's life. And it was then, and in that part of the ministry, that Carey became burdened for the lost people that were around him. And it was there that Carey really was burdened as he saw others around him. And he stood up at a preacher's meeting. He wasn't even ordained yet. He was a pastor of a small church, small congregation. But he stood up and at a preacher's meeting and was speaking about the cause of the lost around the world that needed Christ. And it was then that Reverend George Ryland Sr., who was his mentor, said to Carey, "Sit down, young man. If God wants to convert the heathen, he will do it without consulting you or me." And he sat down. But God only flamed the fire of evangelism in his heart. And God used his word for William Carey to continue to have that burden for the lost. And ultimately then he was greatly burdened, and the Northampton Baptist Association was formed to get evangelism, to evangelize the lost. And it was there that Carey delivered that famous sermon on Isaiah 54:2, where he has that famous phrase, "Brothers, expect great things from God, attempt great things for God." It was there that Carey took the very essence of this verse in Jeremiah 33:3, to believe God, to trust God, to call unto God, that God would do great things. And in our verse that we're looking at today, where the scripture says, "Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not," there's an expectancy there that God uses in our lives. Call unto God. The word "call" there means to call out by name as accosting someone. As you would call across campus, "Hey, Joe!" It's that kind of idea that's in this verse. Call unto God. Get his attention, that God would do great things. By the way, I was just at the Baptist World Mission board meeting. I drove there from there yesterday to here. You know what the last thing we did was? Those 34 men got on their knees and they were calling out to God. And some of you were the names that they were praying for specifically, individually, and personally. Calling out that God would call you and that the Lord of the harvest would call you into that harvest to serve him. It was the very essence of this verse put into action. Call unto me. The reason that we are to do that is to get God's attention. It is to imagine, if you will, the almighty, everlasting God who is looking over the whole billions of people in the world. And view, if you will, as one single individual like you is down here and you are calling unto God and it beams in the attention of God right upon you. As you call out to him and the attention of God in Psalm number 81, the seventh verse, the psalmist says this, "Thou callest in trouble, and I will deliver thee. I answered thee in secret place of thunder. I proved thee out of the waters of Meribah. Hear, O my people, and I will testify unto thee, O Israel, if thou wilt hearken unto me. There shall no strange God be in thee, neither shalt thou worship any strange God. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt. Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it. It is that essence of calling unto God. And God then, getting God's attention. And God says, I will answer you. It is this verse, open wide thy mouth. That is, that we are to ask God boldly. We are to go before the throne of God. He's invited us in Hebrews to come before the throne of God boldly, that we might present and talk to Him those things that God would have us to do. It is that essence that we need to ask. Watke said, never are we warned in the Word of God that we are asking too much. Not once does the Bible hint at any such thing. Ask and it shall be given unto you. Seek and ye shall find. Knock and it shall be opened unto you. It is that expectancy that Carrie was talking about in expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You are the cream of the crop that God has chosen. It's you, like William Carey, that God has chosen to affect this world and to change this world for Jesus Christ. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. It is amazing what the Lord will do. And in this verse, God asks us, or tells us, to ask expectantly. Call unto God. It is that ability that God will provide and that God will do what only He can do. In these 11th through the 13th verse in Psalm 81, the scripture goes on to say, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. So I gave them up unto their own heart's lust, and they walked in their own counsels. Oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my ways. God here encouraging His people and saying, call unto me, call unto me. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God, that God may do those almighty things through you. You are the chosen hand of God. You are the ones that God has said, I am going to place you in a place. I am going to work in you. I want to use you. It is that which God wants to do in you. Dr. Beal made reference to the church in Vermont. I went to that church when it was a true mess. The former pastor had been involved in immorality. There had been all kinds of unethical things done financially. The church was $1.2 million in debt. The day that I got there, there was a stack of bills that high, that back bills that had not been paid. It was truly a mess. And three quarters of the people were gone from the church. It was truly a messed up situation. But God had called me there. And I expected that God was going to do something. Now, I didn't know if He had taken me there to do a funeral or a resurrection, but I expected something to happen, that God was going to do some great thing. And sure enough, God did a wonderful thing. But one, the church was in such terrible financial condition, but they had 58 acres of prime property, and I was able to sell 8 acres of that property and an old school building for $650,000, and that gave us new life. That allowed us to pay off all of those bills, It allowed us to reduce the long-term indebtedness, and we were able to get on our way. But in doing that, I had to sell the parsonage. So we had nowhere to live. We had decided that, long story short is that we moved in with one of the church families, and we lived with them, three little boys, and my wife and I moved in with the church family. The reason for that, girls, my wife said, I'll never live with a church family. Don't ever say stuff like that. God listens and hears, and then that's what you have to do just to prove your faithfulness. I said, you didn't say that, did you?
I did.
Well, anyway, and by the way, the Lord did a wonderful thing. And those were precious people, and we are friends to this day, and it was a great thing for all of us. But we didn't have a parsonage. And so we still had 50 acres of property. And so we decided that we were going to build a parsonage on that property. We had paid off all the bills. We had reduced the long-term indebtedness. I talked to the bank president, vice president, and he said, yeah, sounds good to me. He said, I'm sure that with what you guys have done financially, they will go along with it. So we were living with a family. So I went right out, and I had the basement dug. Had the concrete poured for the basement, and we were all ready to go. It was a Wednesday afternoon, 3:30 in the afternoon. I got the telephone call from the banker. He said, Reverend, I hate to tell you this, but he said, they turned you down at Brattleboro. And he said, I fought for you, but there was nothing I could do. I said, George! But you said, he said, I know, I'm so sorry. He said, I never dreamed it with all you guys have done. He said, but they said that the track record of the former of the church in the past years has been so bad they wouldn't approve it. He said, I'm so sorry. I want you to know I was as low as a snake's belly. There was one thing I was not going to do, and that was I was not going to tell my wife. We had been living for months and months and months with that family. And we were expecting to build that house. So my youngest son came over and he said, Dad, can you help me find my baseball glove? And I said, yes, come on. So we went over to the building where all of our junk was stored. And we started digging through all of that stuff and this big old empty building and found his baseball glove, and he went off. He was happy, and I was standing in that building just having a pity party. Did you ever have a pity party? I was just having a pity party. And I was just sitting there, standing there, reminiscing of, how could this happen? We did what was the right thing. He came into this hard place. We're living with his church family, and we sold that property and paid off the bills and did what was the right thing. How could this thing be happening? Lord, how could you be doing this? Just having a pity party. You probably have had pity parties. While I was having my pity party, somebody came and knocked on the door. It was an empty building, for heaven's sakes. And that even made me mad. What kind of a nut would come over here and knock on an empty building? So I had my pity party. I went over and answered the door. And here it was a guy from New Jersey. And I said to him, Bill, what are you doing here? He said, I don't know. I said, what do you mean you don't know? He said, I had business up here. And he said, I drove in and he said, I just felt led of God that I needed to come over here and talk to you. I said, wow. I knew God was doing something. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. So I said to him, I drove in. I saw the building there, the basement poured. He said, things coming. How's the school doing? I said, school's doing fine. He said, how about the church? I said, church is growing. We paid off all the bills. We're going forward. God's saving souls. We're seeing exciting things happening. He said, well, what about the house? He said, I saw the basement poured. I said, Bill, you wouldn't believe it. He said, what? I told him about the phone call. He said, I thought they told. I said, yeah, I know. That's what I thought too. But he said, I said, that's not going to happen. He said, wow, I can't believe it. He said, well, how much do you need? I said, $50,000. He said, you only need $50,000? I said, yeah. He said, well, why didn't you say you needed $50,000? He said, I just said to my business partner last week, I got $25,000 I want to put into a Christian endeavor. And he said, my partner said, I got $25,000 too. So we put it in the bank. We got it in a savings account. He said, we'll just walk across the street. I'll call him over at your office. And he said, I'll write you a check right now. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. That God can do the mighty thing. That's what the prophet is writing here. Call unto me and I will answer thee. God is the God that answers that prayer of faith. And it's that prayer of faith that God seeks to work in our lives. In James chapter 2, verse 23, the scripture says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. Ye see then how that by works a man is justified, and not by faith only. Likewise also was not Rahab the harlot justified by works, when she had received the messengers and had sent them out another way? Rahab believed God, and because of that, the prayer of faith is followed by actions of faith. She believed God, and then she did what those actions of faith do. That's why God says, call unto me, and I will answer thee. By the way, Jeremiah was in prison when he wrote those words. He was in an indescribable, difficult situation. But God said, and I will answer thee. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. It was just after the crucifixion of Christ. The disciples did not know what you know. They did not know the resurrection. They hadn't put it all together yet. They were discouraged. They were despondent. In Acts chapter 1, verse 14, these all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brethren. They were discouraged people, but they were praying and calling out to God. They were believing God. And then Acts chapter 2 comes, and when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place, and suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were all sitting, and there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as a fire, and it sat upon each of them, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance, and they didn't understand what was happening with all the resurrection and all the things that were going on, but God was going to do something unbelievable. And he did. And the Holy Spirit came, something they could not have imagined. And God did great and mighty things. In chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day were added unto them about 3,000 souls. People just getting saved. And verse 47, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Let God work in your life. We have a missionary who is with us over in Asia, Mike Reddick. Mike Reddick is an evangelist. He is an evangelist that has this heart and this mindset. expect great things from God, believe God that he's going to do great and mighty things. Mike Reddick planned and prayed and worked and labored and sought that God would just do a mighty work. Listen, it may, the scripture says, preach the word, be instant in season and out of season. It may be out of season in America for souls to get saved, but it's in season in a lot of other places. And Mike Reddick was over there in the Philippines, and he had a heart and a mind to believe God, expect great things from God, and attempt great things for God. And he sent out a call and invited evangelists and missionaries and others to come from all over the place. And they just went all over the Philippines and saw thousands and thousands and thousands, 29,000 people that professed Christ and trusted Christ. Not 2,900, 29,000 in a 13-week period. Because he expected great things from God. And God was going to do an amazing and a wonderful thing. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things. God promises that he will show, that is, he will manifest, he will publicly announce, he will do that which is great and mighty things through you. Through you. You are the William Careys. You are the ones that people are praying for. You are the ones that God has chosen. You are the ones that God seeks to use. Call unto me and I will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. William Carey could not imagine what God was going to do in that country. Did he face opposition? Yes. Great opposition. The association that had sent him and had said, we will stand behind you and we will support you and help you, ran out of money. And there he was in India, stuck. He had no financial support. And so he got a job and was managing an indigo plantation. And this pressure that was upon his wife, Dorothy, that over losing two babies. And then they had a son that died on the field. And the financial pressure and all of the pressure had what appears to be an emotional breakdown. And she became delusional. And Dorothy would follow him, if you can imagine, down the street and would be yelling at him and accusing him of immorality with women. William Carey was still expecting great things from God and believing God for great things. And in the midst of it all, he went years and years with no converts, with nothing to show, except a call out to God and the promise of God that God would show thee great and mighty things. That is, huge and inaccessible things. It is expecting and attempting great things from God. And it produces huge and humanly impossible results from God. It is that which God will do. When I was in that empty storage place, it was impossible what was before me. And then God did it. It is that which God promises. The scripture here goes on to say in Jeremiah 33:3, he will show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. God responds in ways that we cannot even imagine. It is that which makes him God. In Ephesians 3:20, the scripture says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. It is that which only God can do. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. Don't limit yourself, students, to minuscule thinking that maybe I could do this, but to believe God, call unto God, and God will answer. And He will show you great and mighty things which you could not even imagine. It is that which He chose you to do. It's that which He is training you to do. It's that which He has ordained you already to do. It's that which God wills and knows what's ahead of you and has those amazing things planned for you that are beyond you, humanly beyond you, that God wants to do with you, little old you, in a mighty and in a powerful way. William Carey continued to labor on in the midst of it all. Dorothy died after 14 years, and William Carey went right on. He suffered through all of those things. It took him 7 years to translate the New Testament into Bengali. Then he translated the Bible into 40 different languages. Somebody said, why in the world so many different languages? Because, did you know this? That in India, every state in India speaks a different language. It is the most messed up country I've ever been to. Nobody knows what anybody's saying, but it functions with them. And that's why he had to translate the Bible into so many different languages. But he did. He died on June 9th, 1834, 73 years old. But William Carey, the father of modern missions, left 1,500 converts that were serving all over India and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ. Expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. The hand of God is upon you. The scripture says, call unto me, and I will answer thee and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. I wonder what God wants to do through you, young woman. I wonder what thing that you cannot even imagine that God wants to work through you. I wonder, young man, what God wants to do through you. That you can't even imagine what God is going to take and use you as you expect great things from God. Attempt great things for God. You yield yourself, here am I, Lord, send me. You will be the Mike Reddicks of tomorrow. You will be the William Careys of the next generation. You are the one of God, Terry's, that will be used incredibly beyond what you can even think to His glory. And that's what this is all about. It's about being what He wants you to be. Let's pray. Our Father, as we come unto Thee today, oh Lord, I thank You for these students, these to whom, oh God, You have entrusted such treasure of their training, treasure of those who are investing in their lives, the treasure, O God, of Your love and service that You have intended for them. God, I pray, even right now, Your hand would work for that discouraged student, O God, who needs to believe You. That one, O God, that thinks that they don't have as much ability as everybody around them. But, O God, You have such great things intended for them. For that one, O God, to whom You have great things planned, beyond what they could imagine. Lord, you want to do it in them. Father, I pray that you would have your way in these moments. Speak, O Holy Spirit, that this would be the beginning. That working in your way, in the heart and life of that student to whom, O God, you want to work immeasurably. Oh God, I pray that you would have your way in these moments of decision, we pray.